Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is December 9th, 2017, and we're going to be live for the next 2 hours. We're simulcasting on KMIL 105.1, that's right here, FM, and also in Rockdale, KRXT at 98.5. The number, if you want to give us a call, become part of the show, is 254-697-6633. Get your stories ready of true stories of self-defense. If you got a special situation that's happened to you, give me a call. Let's talk about it on the air. But just remember, everybody, I want to tell you before I get started, before I get my day started, I got to have my coffee. So if you look on the screen a little later on during the week, you're going to see me holding a cup of fresh Joe from CEFCO here at Cameron Hilltop. And they've got specials going on. They've got rollers, all rollers, hot dogs, two for $2. Pretty good deal. So go in there to the CEFCO Hilltop there in Cameron. Check it out. Get your Tostitos or your hot dogs, $2 for two of them. Good deal. Check it out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a good show going on today, and I'm going to give you some highlights as to what's coming up. Today, instead of reading true stories of self-defense, that's why I want you to call me, I want to read a blog to you concerning small caliber guns, mouse guns. The debate continues as to what the best cartridge is. Now, I agree that bigger is better. But if bigger doesn't have accuracy, what good is it? So we're going to read about it shortly. My license to carry attorney segment will go over questionable weapons, I think. Weapons for self-defense that can possibly get you in trouble. Attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson is going to break it all down for us, so that's going to be really good. Also in today's show, topics of interest, what's coming up that you will want to be part of. So get your calendars ready as I tell you the upcoming events that will be happening with Aaron's in the very near future. Today's tactical snacking segment with Janae Goodman will be Holiday Helpers. Check this out. Garlic roasted sweet potatoes. How to make your own honey glaze and holiday desserts. Sounds delicious. Also at 11, the voice of law enforcement. Retired police chief Randy Dixon, the man of manners, the pontificator of practicality, and the epitome of encyclopedia. Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement. He won't be in studio today, but he'll be giving us a call, and he'll be doing it via telephone. So that'll be pretty it's a dedicated trooper there. Today's product spotlight brought to you by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer is the Smith & Wesson 686 357 Magnum Revolver. This is a classic of a revolver, as I will describe. And you can own it by calling 254-983-4417. Also, go to Aaron's Gun Shop Facebook page and you'll see the picture of it. It's a beast. It's beautiful. It's got beautiful engraving on it, too. So I used to own one of these, and I can tell you it's rock solid type of revolver. There's going to be no interview today, so I'll probably be going over some more gun handling demonstrations. 2 weeks ago, it was indexing, and this week, I believe I'm going to be going over saddling the slide and magazine reload. So if you're not sure how to saddle your gun, I'm going to show you how to do that. And closing up the show for us will be Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Master Key will give us words of wisdom and techniques on how to stay safe. So, with no further delay, let's get this show started. Like I told you, I'm not going to be doing stories in real life. I wanted to go over this debate about small and large calibers. You know, because it's not all the time that I carry a large caliber pistol. And people kind of look at me funny when I do that. And I tell them, hey, look, you know, it's not the size of the ocean, it's the waves upon them, right? So what I did was I went out and checked out this blog about people talking about different size calibers. And I just wanted to read it to you, see the discussion going in there. And I'll give you my comments of agreement or disagreement, and if I do disagree, I'll make a comment myself as to why I disagree. But this was, let's see, what's this guy's name here? I don't know, I can't find his name. MRT949 goes, they were at a blog the other day, one of the regulars asked, where would you shoot someone with a small caliber? And he said, I would shoot him in the groin area. A lot of damage can be done in main vein area and femur area. Well, I've always questioned that myself, and that's a good shot. They say if you break the hip where you get him there in that girdle area, it drops them down so they can't move. I don't know. So it depends on the size of the caliber. That's a good shot, but there's always a chance if you're anticipating the shot, you could actually miss it altogether. I would think there would be more damage if you shoot the bad guy between the eyes. That comes from 10 Ring Magic. And that will definitely put a hurt on you. From Nanook. Same place you shoot them with anything else. Now, this is cool. This is important. You got to understand this. Don't confuse lethal with stopping. The reason so many people die from small calibers is not because they're so deadly. It's because they see it as a minor injury, go home and slowly bleed to death or die of toxemia. Is that what you call it? Days later. This gentleman was saying, I went to the Dallas, Texas Officer Survival Course in the 80s, and at that time, the 25 Auto had killed more Dallas cops than any other caliber. It was the most common gun on the street at the time, a Raven or an RG 25 Auto. This comes from MRT949 again. You don't let the size or energy discourage you. Shot placement is everything, whether it's high or low on the target, it's a hit. I don't know about that, but shot placement is everything. The better you are at being able to shoot your firearm and place the shot where you want it to go under stress, the better results you'll have. It's like if I'm shooting a hail of bullets and none of them miss because I'm shooting real fast, what good is it? But if I take that controlled shot and place it exactly where I want it to go, I'll have much more better results. Let's see. Old Grump. Agreed. A headshot is a small moving, hard to hit target. A mouse gun bullet in the right spot can stop you right now, but the heart isn't that big of a target either. So a lot of shots in the lungs to weaken and stop the boogeyman is the best bet. Big gun or little, you don't stop shooting till the threat ceases being a threat. If you go for a groin shot, aim a little higher. If you go for a groin shot, aim higher than you think the groin is, because that is a small area too, and the lower abdomen is a painful place to get hit. Besides, your gangster rapper punk idiot makes it hard to judge where his groin is with the ridiculous low-rider trousers. Any place below the navel is good, but not an instant stopper like a solar plexus or a heart shot would be. All right. This is from Willie Sutton. When discussing subcalibers at gunsight, Jeff Cooper said, aim for the eyes and shoot early and often. Don H. writes, as a person who has suffered a major pelvic crush injury and helped assist in my rescue, in my opinion, a shot to the pelvis may, at best, immobilize an assailant, eventually allow him to bleed out. In the meantime, he could be causing you a lot of grief if he has a weapon that will allow him to reach out to you, out and touch you. Veins and arteries are darn small targets compared to larger organs. This is from Tailgater. I have no hard data to go on, but my guess would be that the 380 you would do as well by shooting center mass as you would with any other target. But you probably are going to have to put more rounds on target than with a heavier center fire caliber. With a 22 or a 25, I would not be confident in getting a prompt stop with chest shots. My thought would be to shoot at the face so that the shots would be something to slow or distract the assailant and maybe get a psychological stop, even if it didn't get a hit that made a physiological stop. Now, that's a big thing, too. Some people, if they get nicked with a round, they'll freak out. They say, oh, my gosh, I got shot. You got these other people who get shot in the heart, and they're so crazed, they'll just keep coming at you until the blood flow stops or the oxygen stops. So I'm running out of time. I'm not going to read all these, but I wanted to give you some idea. It doesn't really matter. The bottom line of this, it doesn't really matter the size of the caliber. Although it does, it really doesn't if the shot placement is where it's supposed to be. Okay, so keep that in mind. If you're carrying a little mouse gun like I do sometimes, fear not. Just that's why you got more than one round in it, right? Just shoot accurately and often, if necessary, and like the one gentleman said, until the threat has stopped, I would continue to try to stop the threat, okay? Now, with that, I'm going to move on to my opinion piece. And it kind of lines up to what we just read here. It's bullseye shooting is not self-defense shooting. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to the range to practice shooting, that's great. If you shoot at different paper targets to test your accuracy, that's great too. But when it comes to practicing self-defense with a handgun, shooting at paper ain't gonna cut it. About all it will cut is your finger. The worst thing that can happen to you shooting that paper target is getting a paper cut. Paper doesn't shoot back. Paper doesn't move. Paper doesn't strategize against you. Paper is stagnant, inert, brainless, non-threatening. The real-life threat moves, thinks, and shoots back. So when it comes to self-defense shooting practice, you gotta up your game. Well, lucky for us, upping our game has a formula. Learning and applying this formula will definitely up your game. Now, the formula is M plus M equals RT. M plus M equals RT. The first M is mindset, plus the other M, which is mechanics, equals RT, response time. We must all have the proper mindset when we are at home, work, or just out on the street. Acknowledge there's always a potential threat. Be aware of your surroundings and avoid trouble if possible. We must be mentally and physically be prepared to defend ourselves. Now, when it comes to mechanics, we must know how our weapons work and how to get it working again when it doesn't. Point shooting, reloading, mag changes, malfunctions, trigger control are other aspects of mechanics. Knowing how to do these things is only part of mechanics. The other part is application. You must practice. It's amazing what practice can do for upping your game if you don't do it often and correctly. Or if you do it often and correctly. But the downside is that gun handling is a perishable skill. You can get rusty at shooting very quickly. So it's very important to stay fresh if you plan to carry a weapon for self-defense. Now, when you add all this up, the mindset, the mechanics, and all the practices, you will see that your response time will get faster and faster, all the while maintaining your accuracy. Accuracy is vital in a gunfight. It's the fast and accurate shooter that will win over the other guy. Whether you shoot a large caliber pistol or a mouse gun, accuracy rules. I'll take one good accurate shot over a hail of bullets that miss their mark every time. So, if you remember to do the following three things, you should be able to defend yourself pretty well. 1. Get your mindset right. 2. Practice your mechanics. And 3. Repeat steps 1 and 2 often. M plus M equals RT. Mindset plus mechanics equals response time. Trey, take us out. And when we come back on the other side, we'll be with attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson talking about all sorts of weapons.
This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Welcome back, everybody. The Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. That music, man, I just felt
man,
that was Ross
man
today.
In the room.
Ross, how you doing?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right.
Today is very interesting. We're here arguing about some very interesting topics. I thought we were covering some things. He thought we were covering others.
But you know what's funny?
We're
going to
cover something that I think is a little absurd, too, from a lot of standpoint. We're arguing here about knuckles, brass knuckles and clubs. I thought we were talking about unusual firearms like machine guns and...
Well, wait a minute. I want them to understand. This was the question I had. It was basically, Ross, I want to talk about questionable weapons. Weapons that can possibly get you in trouble. And one thing I was talking about was I was looking at this thing online and it looked like a knife handle, but it had a whip. And I think, well, that'd be a nice little thing to have. So let me check it out and see where it falls, but I think it's fallen under a club. That's where I was getting at. All these weird kind of, and then you're coming up with stuff.
I've been really waiting to talk about NFA regulated firearms, Gun Control Act regulated firearms.
NFA stands for National Firearms
Act, which is going to be machine guns, short barrel shotguns, short barrel rifles, silencers, which is a big thing right now. Mm-hmm. It's been a big thing anyway. Destructive devices, which probably doesn't apply to as many people, but I think those first four categories are going to be something that people are going to want to know about. We haven't spoke much about that, and it's complicated. I even mentioned something to you when I walked in here. You said, what is that? And it concerns me a lot of people should know about. And so I don't know if we get to that today. We definitely need to make that the topic for next week or at the next show, because it should have been, I think, something we should have spoke about more. But let's talk about the clubs and the knuckles. So,
let me give the list. Let me just get the listening audience an idea of what I'm kind of getting around. I had just written down a bunch of things that could potentially be questionable. Like, you know, you think you're going outside with a baseball bat, it turns into a club. Or brass knuckles. Ross and I were just talking about brass knuckles. Whips. NFA, which we'll brush on that, National Firearms Act, AOW weapons, all other weapons, tools of opportunities, you know, a bottle, table, baseball cap, keys, martial arts, when does that come into effect? And what is the definition of weapons, firearms, etc.? Just let's go over the whole gamut here. And the number here, 254-697-6633, if you got that questionable weapon and you want to call up and say, yeah, man, I'm carrying this pitchfork and I got a short... handle on it, and I bent the prongs a certain way. Can I carry that on the street? You know, go ahead and give us a call. We'll kind of figure it out.
So I mean, I don't want to say any name of the weapon, and we won't go into specifics and identify things, but you had asked me a while back. It was a very neat item. It kind of had a handle, very efficient and convenient for, say, a lady that was running, okay, or mm-hmm. in her, you know, evening workout routine. In, you know, downtown Houston, maybe, that wanted extra protection but didn't want to carry a actual pistol on her, maybe didn't have the room for that. And it kind of popped out, or it was a handle, and all she has to do is flick the wrist and the thing.
It looks exactly like, if I'm standing up and I got a little folding knife blade in my pocket, which I do right now, that's what you would see. But it's extended a piece of wire that turns it into a whip. It's
very thin wire.
Thin and stiff, yes.
And so I don't know if you've ever, like, hit a blade of grass maybe with a mm-hmm. with a wire or something like that. You just chop that thing in half.
It'll put a welt on you for sure.
And the guy was going through some examples online, and, you know, I mean, it was the mannequin.
Okay? It's very concealable, and it's very quick to deploy. And it has a good – it's a short-range – weapon, however, if it hits you, it smarts.
And I don't actually know the answer about whether that would qualify as a club, but I think that there could be some police officers on the street that would think that was a club. And a club is anything designed, made, or adapted for the purpose of inflicting serious bodily injury or death by striking a person with the instrument, including but not limited to. We talk about a blackjack, a nightstick, a mace, and a tomahawk. Okay, so...
tomahawk.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool, isn't it? I think... the blackjack, the billy clubs, things like that, we kind of get. I don't know that necessarily qualifies as one of those, you know, because those are more of a solid object with blunt force that you could follow through with. And I think a really good argument to say it's really not the same thing.
I would surely love to carry it if I could get some definite.
Okay, and ideas. So the mace is the thing that that. Throwing in the mace is what really concerns me, because I think that deal had a heavier piece on the end, which would help you guide it for aim and direction purposes. And it wasn't very big; it was just a small little piece on the end. But if you know what a mace is, that'd be like you know, in the medieval days, you'd have a stick, and then it'd be bolted down. It'd be a chain,
mm-hmm.
right, attached to the stick, and then the chain would be attached to, say, a ball or a spike,
mm-hmm.
or some bigger mechanism. You could probably look this up online.
Well, let me clarify that other piece. I think that little metal cap on the end was just to keep the wire from fraying. I don't think
probably,
it was designed.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
And like I said, that's why I'm not calling anybody out here. But I'm saying that this bigger piece looks to me, it could be construed as similar, very similar to a mace. And I think that, you know, there may be some problems there, and that's unfortunate, because I think that is a good tool. And is it specifically designed to inflict serious bodily injury? I don't know about death, okay, but sure. And if you hit the person in the throat, maybe just the right way, maybe a deadly weapon, but could it cause serious bodily injury? I think, you know, when you talk about protracted loss of a bodily member or function or something to that effect, you could definitely put somebody's eye out. You could definitely, you know, I think hurt some part of your body to where you don't have the normal use of that, you know, part of the body. So I think that part of the definition, and it's for the purpose of protection.
Yes, it is.
And so it's for the purpose of hurting somebody.
You know, it's funny, though. I can carry a gun and shoot you in self-defense and walk away, possibly. But if I save myself using this particular item that we're talking to, I'm going to get possibly arrested. Isn't that crazy?
Yes, and so it says so they're actually illegal in Texas unless if you have them registered with the National Firearms Registration and Transfer Record, right, with the ATF. And had I known we were talking about clubs today, I would have tried to figure out if we could register any kind of club or a mace at all whatsoever with the ATF. And I honestly don't know the answer to that question off the top of my head. I'll have you an answer next week or at some point. And I have that kind of brings us to what we were arguing about. When I got here, when you go to these gun shows, you see these folks selling the brass knuckles. I haven't done a bunch of research on it, but it's the same rule for brass knuckles. If you can register the brass knuckles, okay, with the National Registration and Transfer Record with the local branch of the ATF, then you're able to carry that weapon. Well, I've been unable to find in the ATF database where you can actually register those weapons. It may exist, it may not. And a couple of people were saying, no, you can't register it. And so I'm like, well, why? Every single gun show, you got at least 10 guys there that have brass knuckles, and you've got 20 cops in the room, right? And they're never getting in trouble. And so I find it hard to believe, but Matt's sitting here saying, well, they're paperweights.
Hey, man, that's what they are, dude.
And so, I mean,
they're pretty cool novelty paperweights.
I mean, I like it.
I could use a paperweight as a weapon.
You could, definitely. You could
use a
pencil weapon.
So then why not have one that looks cool and looks like a pair of brass knuckles?
I mean, and that's what, I mean, if, I don't have a good answer for you. I know you hate to, I don't have a good answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, 254-697-6633. Give us a call if you come up with some cockamamie ideas for weapons. I mean, we're not going to put your name on there. We just want to hear what you got. or come up with, or some ideas of weapons. And the other thing, too, I do this in my license to carry class. And people look at me like, what? What are you doing? And I do it because I've got limited time to get the idea across. You cannot make mechanical devices that are known, intentionally designed to cause harm or death. And I say, I get this double barrel shotgun and I strap it down in this chair and I have it pointed towards the front door. So when the people open up the door, it pulls a string, it blows them off, blows them in two halfway down. And like, no, I go, of course not. You can't do that. That's a designed weapon to cause death or mass destruction. I can't do that. So people may be doing punji sticks, blow darts, all that kind of stuff. And maybe have a tomahawk.
Right. And then you have any other weapons. Okay. Which is AOWs. So people say, and it's just a weapon that's designed to be concealed. That's a gun, basically. That is any combination of the shotgun, rifle, but designed to be concealed. And that doesn't really fall into any other classes of firearms. And so those have to be registered at the national level as well. And that kind of brings to the silencers and the machine guns. And the short-barreled firearms, like
of course you know that silencers are just grease traps, right?
And so so that's another. You got silencers at the gun shows too, but they're not full silencers. They're broken into parts, and they're just what he's saying for grease traps, which is another conundrum in itself. I was gonna say there's actually a pretty good ruling from the ATF. I think it was a 2005 ruling. You can look it up. About whether a lot of guys do these competitive paintball shoots, and this ruling they actually had put silencers on the paintballs. I mean, some guys really get serious about this. There's special forces guys that come from the special forces, get into this paintball stuff, and they have big wars and everything. It's a big deal, and so they have silencers on their paintball guns. Well, the ATF ruling said that if you have this silencer permanently attached to the paintball gun, then it doesn't qualify as one of these weapons that have to be registered. But as soon as you remove the silencer, or you remove the silencer and part of the barrel from the actual weapon, that automatically you're in possession. You've committed probably three offenses. You've probably committed a violation at the state level, a violation of the NFA, okay? And you've also committed tax evasion.
You know, ATF comes up with some weird, crazy, stupid rules, in my opinion. But when you look at it sometimes and you read what they're doing, they're taking this law and they're saying, this says this, this says this, says this. And that's stupid. Doesn't matter. That's what it says. But it also worked in our favor for, like, the Mossberg shockwave. Everybody looks at it as a short-barreled shotgun. No, it's a firearm, because based on the Gun Safety Act of 1968, it says if this weapon is built in a certain manner, has this certain length, it's a firearm, not a pistol, rifle, or a shotgun. So it doesn't fall under any of those categories. So when we're talking about what you're just saying here, the words are specific, and there's sometimes it hampers you, and sometimes it enables you. Based on the
to be innovative, right? For the innovative folks, right. It's been helpful. I think they've even I read some articles about how some of the NFA rules actually allowed people to use electronic fingerprinting and things like that to go a lot faster. The process, as far as the initial process of applying, it doesn't make it any faster waiting on the ATF to come back with approval, but you know, it still takes 6 to 7 months, sometimes a year, depending on, you know, what you're getting and how you paid and how, what entity or individual you're going through. But so for the innovative folks, some of these regulations actually help, but it has hurt a lot. And I think a lot of people have been waiting, as far as silencers, on the Hearing Impaired Act, which I heard got killed because of Las Vegas. But
didn't get killed. It just got brushed to the side, yeah, which I guess is the same meaning, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you see, that one, that's a stupid one, because that's to aid your hearing, because it does not silence a weapon. I mean, this is something everybody knows. A silencer does not silence a weapon. It dampens the noise, the decibels, so that you can shoot it without going deaf. But you're definitely going to hear the weapon.
So, you know, the other side of that is to say, you know, if you don't want to have hearing impairment, then use headphones, or not headphones, but hearing protection, the earplugs.
Well, it's kind of hard when you're hunting and that animal snaps a twig and you got earmuffs on, and you're like, I didn't hear nothing.
Right, and there's a lot of military guys, too, that are advocating for more use of silencers in the actual service. I've had probably 10 people at least in my office that have a disability for hearing almost deaf that is solely related to their time in the military.
I think it got in there somehow under a misnomer, the perception that it's actually so silent that nobody would know you're using a gun. It's not. It deadens the sound so that it doesn't make you go deaf.
Yeah, but yes. So it does help with the hearing. But just know this. So under the Gun Control Act, that controls basically firearms in general. It's going to talk about transfer of weapons. You really can't transfer some of these weapons out of state. There are exceptions, say, for instance, for inheritance to heirs and things like that. But you've got to meet their rules if you want to transfer it out of state, even to maybe like a brother-in-law, to the machine guns and go pull of the trigger. And you've got the short barrel firearms, and you've got the destructive devices. If you're trying to transfer those normally have to be registered. And the thing about these are, and this is what I want to talk about, a lot of people don't understand this concept, is that when you want to deal with these weapons, the best way to go is to get a gun trust. And a lot of people know what these gun trusts are. A lot of people don't. And a lot of people are more familiar with the LLC corporation standpoint. But the reason you get an entity rather than owning it and applying for ownership by yourself is because you've got to go through a few more hoops in order to get ownership of these weapons. And the main hoop you'd have to go through is to basically have a record of it and to go to the chief law enforcement officer of the location where you're at. And so that, like David Green, I suppose, here. But wherever you are, which is a lot of times very difficult to do, and they have a policy normally that they don't like to sign off on these things, and it's just another added administrative step. If it's an individual, sometimes it takes longer. It's harder to get things pushed through. And then with the entities, you have the added bonus, because under the NFA, a transfer of a firearm is very broad. That can include loaning it. If we were at the firing range and you're like, man, this is a cool machine gun, let me test it out, I've never seen one like this, and I hand it to you, I've had experts that are way over my head in this industry that specialize in it tell me that transfer provision can actually be interpreted to mean providing access to. And so if you've taken it, have I loaned that to you? Well, if so, then I've effectively, right, transferred a weapon without doing the application process, which is a violation of NFA. You're in violation of state law. I'm probably in violation of state law somehow too. And I've committed tax evasion, because there's a $200 transfer tax every time you transfer one of those weapons. And it's actually, if you're an individual, the criminal penalties are $250,000 and 10 years in jail. And yes, the ATF honestly has not been, and to their credit, they haven't gone after everybody. I mean, they let a lot of these things go. Not all the time, and it's not safe to do. It's a stiff penalty. But most of the time, they're really going after the bad guys. Like, they'll get somebody on a weak drug charge, but they know there's a weapon transfer involved, and so they'll tack on all these weapons charges. But there have been these outlier cases, and it is dangerous to even fool with the feds like this. And so what you can do, though, is you can get a corporation or an entity or a trust, and you can make yourself an employee, or you can have independent contractors that you make loans out to, and you can have it part of your corporate policies to make these loans to these people. And so then that allows you to make these transfers, and it's a legal transfer. But it's still, you've got to keep records. You got to have the entity integrity. You have to make sure that you have all of your ducks lined up in a row. And folks, there are a lot of things you have to do to make sure that your corporate entity stays intact. You have to file every year. You have to file public information reports. You have to make sure that you pay the entity tax, the franchise taxes. You have to you obviously have to file with the IRS. You're going to have employment policies, and you're going to have policies that say so. But a trust on the other hand, is a private deal. It doesn't have to be registered with the state. It's simply a document. A trust is nothing more than an agreement down on a piece of paper. I like to think of it as a wagon almost. A trust is an estate planning tool that I use all the time, but and it's the same concept. It's a little red wagon that you pulled around as a little kid, and you went around and you put rocks in and Barbie dolls or military figures or whatever. It's the same thing. It's a box, right? A trust, a fictive box that holds your property. And so that trust is an entity sort of in itself, sort of not, that's technically not true, but it's easy to think about that way. And it's like a corporation sort of, and it can own these assets. Mm-hmm. And so if you've got a trust, you just make everybody that you think you'll want to use your firearm a trustee, a co-trustee, or you have provisions in the trust that appoint them as a special, independent special trustee, or they're a beneficiary of the trust. And so that's an agreement between the trustee is the person that pulls the wagon, so to speak, is the person that's in charge of the property. And they have a duty to follow the terms of the trust agreement to benefit the beneficiaries, the people who the trust benefits. And a lot of times it's the same person. A lot of times you can have the beneficiary be the same as the trustee. And so the trustee is effectively running and operating and managing the trust, right, for his own or her own benefit. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so we can have, this may be a lot. I mean, it's kind of a wide spectrum
there's a lot of people out there who utilize this for collection of machine guns or special types of weapons, and they want to look at them and every now and then take it out, shoot it, get the feel of the weapon. Others do it because they're doing it for an investment. So I guess it's worth going through the hoops to do that. Myself, I'm an operator. I'm a practical applicator of equipment. The last thing I want is to have to go through all that paperwork. So I look at it and I say, in most cases, I can get done with a semi-auto normal weapon that's not that much longer than some of these shorter ones. I can get done what I got to get done as compared to full auto or something like that. Granted, they come, they have their applications. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm just saying, think about it before you do it. If you think, oh, this is great, this is something I want to carry around, but I'm papered. Well, Ross is telling us of all the complications and all the technicalities that go with it. And if you're not up to snuff and keeping your paper and your accounting of that weapon and the transferring of that weapon proper, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. So just think about that.
And so remember, too, we spoke a few shows ago about just transfer of firearms in general, not specialty firearms, mm-hmm, like we're talking about today, or, you know, accessories, but just transfer in general. You got to make sure that you are a resident. You know, you got to make sure that you're not a felon, that you are not a mentally defective, you know, or have some kind of mental disability. You got to make sure that that it's legal, you know, where you are, to possess it. You've got to make sure that you are not under a protective order. There's all kinds of things that you got to make sure the person you're loaning it or transferring it to. So you effectively, when you talk about these specialty weapons, you got, you know, the Second Amendment's in play, the National Firearms Act of 1934, the Federal Firearms Act of 1938, the Gun Control Act of 1968, the 1986 Law Enforcement Officers Protection Act, Firearms Owners Protection Act, the 1990 Crime Control Act, and the 1994 Crime Bill, the Brady Handgun Violence Prevention Act, the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act, and the Violence Against Women Act, and the 1999 the Gun Bill that requires certain regulations as far as triggers. All of those things, right, come into play. Plus, in addition to state law, okay, in addition to local ordinances.
Wow.
Okay, for instance, you know, the case in Massachusetts,
while you're thinking about that, I had a comment. I don't know if this is a good topic to go over maybe next week or the weeks ahead, but you've got these rules and regs, and then you got city ordinances. How does a city ordinance?
Washington, D.C. versus Hiller. That's what I was trying to think about. Sorry.
Okay.
Where it outlawed certain firearms within the city limits, and the whole issue was, does it apply to the individual? And yes, the Supreme Court in that case said yes. And then they came back in, I think it was 2010, said that the Second Amendment applies to the states and local ordinances too. So they have to apply. That's what I'm saying. That's why the Second Amendment, that's why I listed it in that list. That comes into play. Even if, you know, there might be a reg that's on the books, it may not be constitutional anymore mm-hmm. based on that 2010 ruling. What were you asking?
I'll save it for another show, but I wanted to ask you real quick about weapons of opportunity. Let's say you're engaging in self-defense and you pull something out of nowhere as a weapon of opportunity. Could be anything. Could be your baseball cap. Could be a glass of wine, a bottle of wine, a chair. Can any of that end up hurting you because you're using something that now turns into a club of some sort?
Well, we said a deadly weapon is anything that is designed or in its manner of use. And so a deadly weapon can be anything. There's all kinds of cases.
So my life's not a lot. Let's do something real short.
A plate. How about this? A plate. There's been a couple cases where a plate was a deadly weapon. I had a client. I represented a client that was charged with assault with a deadly weapon by using a plate.
How'd that go?
Good for me. But, I mean, I didn't really... It was hard for me. It's not on the plate thing. I mean, you could use a plate as a deadly weapon.
I guess.
Bottom line.
All right, look, ladies and gentlemen, this segment is sponsored by Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, and we can't thank them enough. And attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson comes on and does a fantastic job. Ross, tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
My name is Benton Watson. My main office is here in Cameron, 105 East Main Street, 105 East Main. Big milk cow on the side. You can email me at benton@watson.legal. That's benton@watson.legal. You can call my office at 254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140. Thank you, guys.
All right. Everybody, we'll see you on the other side.
See that, man? Did an awesome job.
Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Gold Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quality work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Motors. Power through the summer with Cameron's Gold Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Today is December 9th, 2017. Got lots more going on here. We've got some topics of interest. Bust open your calendar calendars and get ready to write down some dates. Last night was this year's 2017 last round robin. We had a bunch of people show up, had a great time, and moi, your host, actually competed in this one. I don't get an opportunity to do that very often, but we had an odd string, and I wanted to fill the string up. So it's always good to get behind the gun, the trigger, and cap some rounds on the target. But we had some great shooters, good competition last night. It's every second Friday of the month as we have our round robin. I cannot emphasize enough how awesome and important it is to try this type of competition. It's really not that big a deal. And I'm going to give you an example. I tell this to you almost every week. Let's just say we got 15 people. I'm going to have three strings of five shooters. The first string will go up to the table, the benches, and put their guns on the bench. Each booth has their own bench. The person standing in front of the booth, they put the gun down, and the slide is locked to the rear. The magazine is out. And if you're carrying a revolver, the cylinder is open. Because on this competition, you can bring any pistol you want. Any pistol you want. And as long as it's a pistol caliber up to a 44 mag. Excuse me. And so what you do is you put the weapons on the table there, and in front of you, there's five shooters. In front of the shooters, there's a target. Each shooting booth has a target, and each target has five circles on it. So the shooters are numbered one through five, and shooter number one comes up to the booth, has 50 seconds to engage all five targets, so a breakdown, that's 10 seconds per target. And they lock and load the weapon, and they shoot five rounds at the number one circle, put the gun down, and move to the second booth and shoot somebody else's gun. So what happens is, and you do that five times, five different guns. And what it does for you, it puts you under stress, gets the adrenaline flowing, starts turning those 10 fingers into three because you're a little bit nervous if you haven't done this before. And then you've got to figure out the manipulation of a handgun that you may not be too familiar with. Then you got to get your aiming proper, and you have to hit the target under a certain amount of time. So you're getting all these different techniques of training in 50 seconds. And I've seen professional shooters come out and compete in my competition, and they spit up all over themselves because they're so used to using just one gun with the accessories on and the extended slide release or the extended safeties or whatever on their gun. And when they go shoot somebody else's gun, they just can't do it. They slow down. They have to figure out where the buttons are. And the other nice thing about it is when you do this type of competition, you get to learn common threads of different types of guns. So you don't have to look for slide releases or mag releases. There's certain common threads that go through them all, and you get to learn all that when you participate in these gun competitions, the round robin. And after two, three times, you're really doing good. So every second Friday of the month, check it out. Go to Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel. Look up some round robin competition videos, and you'll get to see how that works. Now, today at 2 o'clock, again, I have another license to carry class. I still have a few slots open. If you want to participate, it starts at 2 o'clock. The course fee is $60. If you have a license already and you want to refresh yourself on the laws and things like that, it's $40. Starts at 2 o'clock. It's over at 7:30. There's still a room available. You can give me a call here, or you can give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. But you got to be there prior to 2, about 10, 15 minutes prior to 2. I start promptly at 2. If you are late, you are wrong. So 2 o'clock today. December 15th, that's the third Friday of every month, is ladies' night. Ladies get to shoot free. The range time is free for the ladies. So guys, bring your gals, bring your gals, whatever. Ladies, shoot free that night. December 22nd, people ask me, are you going to be open that Friday? Yes, I will be open December 22nd. December 29th, the Friday after Christmas. Yes, I will be open. Now, if you get a group of five or more people, I will set up a seminar just for you or a license to carry class just for you. I'm having a bunch of people doing that lately. After this church shooting, a lot of groups like that, other people, groups of women. So if you got a women's only that you want to do, give me a call. We'll just have the ladies doing it. We've got long-term seminars. Go to Aaron's Gun Shop High Cap Adventure page. Check out the High Cap Adventure page and look at all the different flyers, the types of seminars that we do. Give me a call. We'll work it out and set it up specifically for your group. Okay, so lots of things going on at Aaron's. Check out aaronsgunshop.com. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook. Go to Instagram. On the website there, become a follower. All sorts of ways you can check it out. Always posting pictures and videos. And It's a lot of fun to participate in the gun competition, so I hope to see you soon. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to have the lovely Janae Goodman talking tactical snacking with holiday helpers. So, Trey, take us out.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Vitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Christmas is right around the corner, and before we know it, you're going to be knee-deep in house guest and holiday plans. So I want to get you thinking about your festive menu right now. Just think of me as your holiday helper. My name is Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. So let's start with the most important part of a Christmas spread, the ham. A glaze can make or break a ham, so I want to give you a simple recipe just to make your own. You'll need 1.5 cups of packed brown sugar and 1/2 cup of honey. You can spice this up using a dash of cinnamon, clove, or allspice. Combine the brown sugar and honey and your optional spice into a saucepan. Cook the mixture over medium heat until it's smooth and the sugar has dissolved. If you want to glaze your ham for the first time, do it while it is halfway done cooking. Be sure to baste it using those pan drippings for both the 30-minute and 10-minute mark before it comes out of the oven as well. Don't have any honey on hand? Well, I had a friend who used Coca-Cola and brown sugar to glaze his ham one year, and I'm not a very big soda drinker, but I have to hand it to him. That was a pretty delicious ham. If you're going to need those sides for your succulent pig, try the garlic roasted sweet potatoes. All you need are 2 to 3 medium-sized sweet potatoes, 3 cloves of garlic minced, 1 medium onion diced, olive oil for coating, salt and pepper to taste, and roughly chopped herbs. We like to use sage, parsley, and rosemary. Just make sure that you discard the stems. The dark orange sweet potatoes are sweeter, so I use those for an uplifting touch to this recipe. You'll cube your sweet potato into medium chunks and place them on a cookie sheet that's lined with parchment paper. Sprinkle your chopped onion and minced garlic over the potatoes, and next, put in your roughly chopped herbs, and with a slow and steady hand, coat the vegetables and herbs with olive oil. Add plenty of salt and cracked pepper to taste. Remember, these are still a starch, so they can handle a pretty decent amount of seasoning. You can always sample a raw potato before putting them in the oven to check the seasoning as well. After coating your diced sweet potatoes, put them in a 400-degree oven for about 30 to 40 minutes, or until the potatoes are soft. Rotate them halfway to promote even roasting. Take a taste before serving them warm, and add a little bit more salt and pepper if you need to. I've mentioned all these sweets, and I know your palate is going to need a refresher, so I've got just the thing, green beans. You'll need a good amount of fresh green beans or a bag of frozen whole frozen whole green beans, olive oil, salt and pepper to taste, and an optional roasted nut topping. Almond slivers, crushed hazelnuts, or walnuts are great choices. If you've opted for fresh green beans, remember to remove the stems and the strings. Next, blanch your green beans in a large pot of salted boiling water until they're slightly crunchy, about 1 to 2 minutes. Remove your green beans from the boiling water and season them with salt and pepper to taste. Add a drizzle of olive oil and platter them up with your almonds, hazelnuts, or walnut topping. Bon appetit! For those of you who don't know, I'm a culinary arts and gardening teacher by trade, and my school kids have been baking up sugar cookies all week. It's got me thinking, how can I zest these up for the holidays? Of course, a smear of royal icing and some sprinkles on top would please any eye, but why not get really festive? Next time, I think I'll add in some zested orange peel and chopped, dried, and sweetened cranberries to my cookie recipe. Then I'll add in some orange extract to the frosting. That's sure to get everybody talking. We, of course, can't forget about the holiday drinks. Remember that hot chocolate I had mentioned? For one cup of hot cocoa, you will need 8 ounces of milk, 2 teaspoons of sugar, 1/3 of a cup of chocolate of your choice, 1/4 a teaspoon of vanilla extract, and a small pinch of cinnamon and nutmeg. You'll heat the sugar and the milk up into a small pot over medium heat, whisking frequently. And once the milk comes to a low simmer, remove it from the heat and whisk in all your other ingredients. Top it off with marshmallows or whipped cream and a sprinkle of cinnamon. Simple, sweet, and indulgent. Red Hot Cinnamon Cider is both easy and delicious. Next time you have a hankering for your apple beverage, drop in a few cinnamon red hots into your glass and give it a stir. It's a true game changer. You're welcome. And you don't have to wait till Christmas to come around to these culinary treats. I hope you don't decide to. If you need a recipe, have any questions or comments, sarcastic remarks, or just want to say hi, be sure to drop a line at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com. If you lack comments, sarcastic remarks, or just want to say hi, be sure to drop a line at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com. If you missed last week's segment on do-it-yourself holiday gifts, you can find it at thecultivatedclassroom.com. Check out some other things we've got growing on there, too. I hope I've made the holidays a big success for you, and a little less daunting. Be safe and be warm out there, and as always, stay hungry, my friends.
Or the ICC, I'll take with me the warmth of thee, a taste of honey.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Yeah. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today.
Just tell me when to start.
All right, Chief, you're ready to go.
I'm ready. All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome. I hope everything's doing great. It's a wonderful Saturday morning out here. The air is beautiful. It's a great day. I thought about driving down to Lee County today and having to do a little bit of work down here, so I'm doing this by remote today, but... You know, it's a wonderful, absolutely glorious day to get out and about. There's still some snow on the ground down here. It looks kind of great. Anyhow, what I thought we'd do today is we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to look at some things about the holidays. You know, I've talked the last 2 weeks about holidays and about the presence of holidays and about how the holidays are going to kind of change us a little bit, how we have to be more careful, how we have to do things during the holidays. You know, I started thinking a little bit. That puts stress on everybody. We all have stress. So I want to talk today a little bit about stress and what happens at the home and how we attach our homes and what happens to us at home. one of the things that I really think is important to understand, folks, is that every year there are people that are much less fortunate than what most of us are. And that puts stress on the homeowners, the moms, the dads, and everyone else. So before I actually get into the beat of what I want to talk about today, I want to ask a favor of everybody. You know, one of the saddest times in my entire life is when I worked in police departments where I had to work on Saturday morning. You know, and I go down the neighborhoods and I'd see the kids, especially in the poor areas of town, that were so happy with just having one little present. And then I'd go back to some of the other areas of towns and I'd see boxes lined up everywhere. You know, there's a lot of less fortunate people out there. And I'd ask everybody just to think about a minute, take some time and donate a toy to the Toys for Tots for the Marines or something like that. Help some kids that aren't going to have a really great Christmas. Let's help them out a little bit. Take the time to enjoy yourselves and your family. But let's spread a little holiday cheer, a little joy. I think it's so important. Because isn't that what the holidays are all about? It's supposed to be about helping people. It's supposed to be about being happy and making things happy for everybody. But, you know, there's a lot of things that happen that aren't happy during the holidays. I know that one of the things that I used to see a lot during the holidays when I was on patrol years back is how many domestic violence cases took place, how many unhappy people were around during the holiday season. So I want to touch today on the holidays and domestic violence, and let's talk a little bit about a survivor's guide on what to do during the holidays. You know, the holidays are often thought of as the best time of the year. It's a time for loved ones, celebration, and joy, folks. However, for victims of domestic violence, the holidays can be a very dark and scary time. You know, it's uncanny. It's unbelievable how many people can't handle the pressures of Christmas. Domestic violence spikes during the holidays, and that's when the time we should have less domestic violence. Unfortunately, it's not like that. You know, many people have unrealistic expectations during the holidays. They have financial pressures, and the increased consumption of alcohol can raise stress levels, which can contribute to incidents of domestic violence. There is never, ever a good time for domestic violence. There's no such thing as good things for good domestic violence. But having it during the holidays, what does that tell our kids? What does it tell everybody? What does it put our kids in jeopardy with as they get older? So if the holiday season is supposed to be the best time of year, many people have those high expectations. They can include giving the best gifts, balancing time effectively, getting along with family, and having an abundance of holiday spirit. We're supposed to do that. Many people can become stressed, though, while trying to live up to those expectations. You know, those heightened expectations can destroy the family. A feeling of devastation if they fail. Before the holidays, it's really important to set realistic expectations and realize that things may not go as planned. I know we've all been there. We've all gone to our families, and maybe things didn't happen, or maybe somebody said the wrong thing, or maybe they turned to talk about religion or politics. You know, all those things that can really, it can put a damper on the true meaning of what holiday season is all about. You know, I have a really hard time, folks, saying happy holidays. It's supposed to be Merry Christmas. You know, and those of us, and those of you who are believers in certain things, such as a godly experience, it is Christmas. It's the birthday of a Christ child. And I don't think the birthday of a Christ child should be celebrated with someone fighting, arguing, and trying to hurt each other. And that's something we have to remember. It's something we have to think about. You know, some of the other problems that people have during those holidays, and Lord knows I've been there, is financial pressures. And the stress of having a tight budget can feel more overwhelming during the holidays. Many of us have had to cut back. Many of us have had to stress out over money and things of that nature. But, you know, when we have it during the holidays, it hurts us because we can't provide what we want to provide to the ones we want to provide it to. The expectations of buying the best gifts can increase our anxiety levels. And, you know, we need to have a handle on those, how many of us can deal with those added expenses. Some simple steps can help with stress management during the holidays, folks. One way is to help with financial strain is to develop a holiday budget and a plan of action. That holiday budget, that plan of action, and you have to stick to that. Be realistic about gift giving. Give gifts that your budget allows, whether that includes store-bought or even homemade items. I would 100 times myself rather have a homemade item, a framed picture, or something of that nature to remember people by. By prioritizing our gift-giving and resisting external pressures and the internal urge to overspend, holiday stress can be increased. You know, I've often thought to ourselves, what a millionaires, what do they buy people for Christmas? They've already got everything. You know, and then we see our next-door neighbors, what's the old saying, keeping up with the Joneses? We don't have to do that in today's society. Just because our next-door neighbors were able to buy their kids the neatest, greatest, or whatever X machine or whatever those things are called nowadays that kids play computers on, that doesn't necessarily we have to match up to that. I think more people, more kids, their time, your time is the most important things. Another component of the holidays is something I think is really overlooked many times is alcohol, and the use of alcohol creates more hazards, more problems, more issues during the holidays than anything. When you add the fact that we are under financial stress, when we have family problems, or we maybe have family issues, and then we add alcohol on top of that, that's a recipe for disaster, folks. Drink, a coping strategy, often doesn't help because the ability to cope decreases as the amount of alcohol consumed increases. It's kind of like that bulletproof of mind. The more you drink, the more bulletproof you become, and actually the more pervious you become to your own issues. And this is something I want you to also think about, folks. While hosting holiday parties, offer a selection of non-alcoholic beverages and stop serving alcohol at least an hour before the party ends. You're responsible for the behavior of the people at your party. And you say, no, I'm not. I'm not their behavior. Legally, you are. You're responsible for anyone who goes home drunk at your party. And I would hate to have that on my conscience, especially during the holidays. You know, and maybe you got somebody that needs to go to Alcoholics Anonymous or Al-Anon. If you do, you know, encourage them. Encourage them to do it before the holidays. You know, the meetings that they have at these locations and these different programs, they can teach coping methods. You can keep mechanisms for people to survive during the holidays as well. And I'm not here to try to tell people to go to Alcoholics Anonymous or any of those things, because that's a personal issue, but that's something that we all need to think about, especially if you have a loved one that you really, truly care about. You know, in my career as a police officer, I've had to deliver way too many death messages to families that weren't expecting or were expecting their family to come home at night. One in particular that I will never forget was on it was the week before Christmas, and actually the young lady worked at Alcoa at the time and didn't make it home. She was 19 years old, and I had to go tell her mom and dad that she wasn't ever coming home again. Folks, that is one of the hardest things in the world, and yes, it was alcohol-related, but that still doesn't take the fact that they've lost someone during the holidays. Make a Christmas a joyous Christmas. Make it something that people can remember. Don't strategize the holidays. Don't tear the holidays up. Use alcohol sparingly and use it responsibly, folks. You know, domestic violence is more likely to occur when stress levels are high. During the holidays, unrealistic expectations, financial strain, and alcohol can increase stress, and therefore it does increase the incidence of violence. If you find that you're in a domestic violence situation, folks, it is so important to have a safety kit in your case in case you have to do something such as leave quickly. You know, we talk about bug-out bags for whatever disaster we have. Maybe it's a natural disaster or maybe it's a man-made disaster. But if you have a history, if your family has a history of domestic violence and you don't know when it's going to explode, have you a minor bag, don't have to tell anybody, have you a bug-out bag for just that purpose? And I'm sure people who are listening to this morning think, that's crazy, have a bug-out bag in case you have to leave your own wife or husband. Folks, sometimes things are better left unsaid. Sometimes the best thing to do, the best means is simply to give some space for a while. You know, the kit should be hidden in a safe place and should include your emergency numbers, a bag of clothing, maybe some toiletries, some extra medications, important documents such as your birth certificates and driver's license. Make sure you take your prescriptions, maybe an extra house key, car key, and definitely put a little bit of cash in there in case you have to spend the night at a hotel or a motel. And I know, folks, once again, people think, why should we do this during the holidays? Because holidays do create stress. There's help for persistent stress, folks. I'll tell you that right now. You know, when you worry, when you have anxiety, you have depression, or overall negativity during the holidays, you need help. I need help. Everybody needs help if that happens. Finding the right therapist, the right place to release your information, whether you have a safe place to go or to get support is so important. If you need some advice, you can always email me, randydixon, 76502, at gmail.com. I'll give you some ideas. I'll tell you some people that you could talk to, and it doesn't cost a lot of money. But you do need to reach out. You do need to think about what the holidays bring. You know, it's a sad moment in our society when people can't enjoy such a joyous time of the year because they have to prove a point. And I don't care whether you're a male or a female. Christmas in front of your kids is not the time to air your laundry. It's not time to get crossways with each other. Leave your kids a lasting memory. Leave them know that you're there for the right reasons and to enjoy the holiday season with your kids. You know, I was talking to my sister just a couple of days ago. There's nothing more important than your family. We both said we'd give anything if our folks were still alive so we could enjoy Christmas like we used to. The Christmas where we all drove around looking at Christmas lights. The Christmas where we all got together on Christmas Eve, Christmas morning. And we all laughed, and we all hugged, and we all told each other how much we loved each other, even without having to say those words. So, folks, make this a happy Christmas. Make this a Christmas where people don't fight. Make it ones when you can get along. It all starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with everyone. If you see people that are in peril, if you see people that can't survive the holidays, get them some help. Tell them they need some help. If nothing else, take them off and buy them a soda water somewhere, so you can get them away from the situation. But don't put yourself into the dilemma where you're boxed in. That boxed in feeling is a feeling that creates so much problems and it's going to explode. Holidays are a great time, folks. You know, it's one of the most joyous, enjoyed time of the year. But let's make that a holiday that we're going to enjoy, not one we're going to regret, maybe by saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing. So, up until next week, folks. Here I am. It's a wonderful day out in the middle of the country, watching the cows go by, watching some deer play. Hope you have a great Saturday. I'll see y'all next Saturday on the radio. Take care, everybody.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Butros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rockdale offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cat Adventure Radio Program. It's December 9th, 2017. And we got a little different show going on. I don't have a guest this week, so I'm going to be putting a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I've had people ask me questions about certain gun handling, so I'll be talking about that after 11:30 or so. But I just grabbed Janae Goodman from Tactical Snacking again, because Janae, I got a question. Why don't you get that mic and let's talk here for a second.
Let's do it.
You mentioned roasted sweet potato, garlic roasted sweet potatoes,
yes.
And ever since you texted me that's what you're going to talk about, I've been drooling and gaining an inch on my waistline. What? Talk. I know you got sweet potatoes are great, but when you start putting the garlic roast and this and that, and talk to me about that. How the heck do you make that stuff? Can you tell everybody, because I know they're hungry too.
Well, it's fairly easy. So with the sweet potatoes, we actually took them out of our garden at school. We kept the skins on 400 degrees. About 30 minutes, cut them all up along with your vegetables. So you have garlic, rosemary, parsley, thyme, and sage. We also do the garlic and onion. So once you chop all of that up with olive
sounds
oil,
delicious.
Salt and pepper, pretty liberal in the salt and pepper. Mix it all up.
And when you roast it, it doesn't have that orange look. It's more got a brown, crustier
right.
look
so
to
they'll,
it.
They'll get a little browner as they bake.
Because I do this sometimes. I cut up a sweet potato, cook it, and I put in all these ingredients. I put oil, put olive oil, some mint with it, and I try to crisp it up because that's how I like it. But I got a question for you. I don't know if you can answer this. First of all, question number one is, what's the difference between a potato and a sweet potato? And then the second question is, why are sweet potatoes so dang hard to cut?
So there's actually a world of difference between a potato and a sweet potato. A sweet potato actually isn't a potato. So, yes, so they're a completely different world. Sweet potatoes are going to be a lot sweeter, and they're actually considered a superfood, as regular potatoes are not. So they have plenty of vitamin A for you, vitamin C and B, plenty of nutrition, all sorts of different elements and, you know, just supplements, and they're
but they don't have the carbs that potato?
They do have carbs. They have about the same amount of carbs as a potato would, but since they're so much healthier for you, that's what puts them as a better food than a regular potato.
Somebody was telling us, I went to the doctor and they told me that your, I don't know what they call it, but they said your level is high, but I liken it to taking out the trash. You may have a lot of trash, but you got more trash trucks coming to pick it up. So it balances it out. So you're saying the sweet potato's got carbs,
yes.
But because there's so much more better stuff, it outweighs.
Right. Exactly. So in about one half a cup of sweet potato, you get over 100% of your vitamin A intake.
Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty
amazing,
good.
Right? As far as them being harder to cut, they're just more fibrous. I couldn't
just
tell you why.
So good.
That's just the way
garlic
they are.
Garlic roasted sweet potatoes. I like want some right now. All right, Janae, thank you. We're going to get
you're
into
welcome.
Our product spotlight here. Ladies and gentlemen, this section is, I say too much. Trey, get the stick. Every time I say I want you to just whack me. I'm tired of saying as a breaker. But what we're going to do.
Really?
Is.
Really?
Just kidding. Just kidding. This segment is brought to you by ANC Firearms out of Heidenhammer. And Arch Kuntz is the owner of ANC Firearms, and me and him go back a long ways. He's a great guy. A lot of people know Arch. He's very consistent in his niceness to everybody. I never see him not nice. And he's got a lot of things to offer there. The staff, Clint, Mike, and Dennis, are all great guys, too. Very knowledgeable in what they do. They got lots of pistols, rifles, shotgun, ammo, knives, holsters, accessories, all sorts of things, and much more. Now, look, they sponsor and support this radio show. I could not be on the air without people like him and Coppolino Dodd Krebs and Cameron Small Engine Repair and all these other sponsors who come on the show. I cannot be on the air. So if you think you want to be on the air and promote your business or whatever to help this show, call me. I'll take every bit of help I can get. It's not easy, and it's not cheap to do this radio show. It takes a lot of time and effort, a lot of people giving up their time and all that. I got to coordinate it, got to get all these people lined up to get the show on the air. It takes a lot of time, effort, and money, okay? So your support of this radio show is greatly appreciated, and you've got a fantastic listening base from here to North Austin to Rockdale, all around, off of two stations that are simulcasting, and that's KMIL 105.1 FM and out of Rockdale at KRXT 98.5 FM. So please, if you feel motivated, give me a call and we can somehow, some way, make you into a sponsor. Now, for the product spotlight, today we're going to be talking about the Smith & Wesson 686 357 Magnum Revolver. Ladies and gentlemen, I used to own one of these things. Beautiful gun. Beautiful gun. And I was looking on the internet, as always, trying to find somebody else's opinion of the gun. And I came up on gunmagazine.com. And the title of this one was called Exclusive: Smith & Wesson 686 Classic Defined. The Smith & Wesson 686 is a classic. And they spell it out. C-L-A-S-S-I-C. And here's why. They take each letter and give a description of what each letter means when it comes to the Smith & Wesson 686. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com's Facebook page, you'll see a picture of me holding it. It's a beautiful 686, stainless steel. It's got engravings on it. It's at ANC Firearms right now. Check it out. Call on it. He's got it in a different cabinet. I don't think a lot of people are seeing this. If they saw it, it'd be gone by now. But it's a beautiful gun. So call him up on it. Check it out. Take a look at the picture on the Facebook page, Aaron's Gunshop Facebook page. All right, so we start with this. Classic, and here's why. The letter C. Calibers, 38 Special and 357 Magnum. These multi-purpose cartridges have been around for a long time and show no signs of kowtowing to other calibers that are, what, half their length? Available in everything from target loads to personal defense loads to hunting loads, both 38 Special and 357 Magnum rounds offer outrageous versatility. Fired from the Smith & Wesson 686, the 38 Specials register only the slightest of recoil. The 357 Magnums, however, thunder and roar, but keep you coming back for more. L in the word classic. Long double action and light single action trigger stroke. You'll be hard-pressed to find better double action, single action trigger stroke in any gun. The Smith & Wesson 686 double action stroke is long, somewhat heavy, but amazingly smooth. Still, you can double tap steel target silhouettes with terrific effectiveness. Because the sheer size and weight of the gun absorbs some of the recoil, you're back on target easily. I concur with that. Click the hammer back for a single action stroke and you're rewarded not only the pleasing sound and feeling of the highly engineered internal mechanisms aligning and locking in place, but also with the legendary easy press to break the sear and fire, affording greater accuracy. Which brings us to A in classic. Accurate. A 4-inch barrel, the one at Arches is 6-inch by the way, is meant more for defensive or combat purposes than the accuracy, but the accuracy you do get from a 4-inch Smith & Wesson 686 only adds to effectiveness in any situation. In other words, where you aim, you hit. The windage adjustable rear notch and red ramp front sight provide a time-proven means for putting bullets on targets at a variety of distances. With a little practice, you can easily ring steel silhouette targets at 65-yard distance shooting double action. The S in classic is the first S, stainless steel. Stainless is not a no maintenance, but it's a much low maintenance than regular blued steel. Plus, it looks great. Shiny and durable, you can subject it to fairly harsh conditions without fear of any significant wear or harm. In a world dominated by black plastic pistols, the big stainless revolver makes a stunning statement no matter where it's deployed. As an all-steel gun, It is heavy, 39.7 ounces, and feels solid. It'll eat 357 Magnum rounds all day long, reliably sending the bullets downrange the same way every time. Pop open the cylinder and smack the ejector rod, and empty cases drop away. All the parts work together in perfect harmony, a masterpiece of a metallic beauty. The second S in the word classic. Sure, many people love revolvers because they are inherently reliable. Sure, a revolver can have problems, but the vast majority are mitigated by doing the most natural thing, squeezing the trigger again. For the person interested in arming himself or herself who can only invest in the most minimal training and practice, a revolver is a sure thing. Pick it up or draw it, squeeze the trigger, and it fires. To fire it again, squeeze the trigger. If a round fails to fire, squeeze the trigger again. The letter I in the word classic for the 686 stands for introductory and intelligent. A revolver's ease and surety of use makes it a good choice for a beginning shooter who is just learning the basics. Basic ballistics and safety matters can be made more clear with a revolver, and having to stop and reload after only six or so rounds allows for a smart break in which a shooter can correct any problems without getting carried away. But the 686 is also a good choice for an experienced shooter who wants to maximize a myriad of factors, including the recipes for his hand loads, trigger stroke practice, and more. The last C in classic, customizable. What else can you do with such a basic gun? Plenty. Adjust the sights for longer range shooting. Install a mount or scope for target shooting or hunting. Stagger the kinds of rounds to be fired for maximum defense efficiency. Swap the stocks for any number of stocks that emphasize target shooting, combat effectiveness, concealability, or just downright good looks. The Smith & Wesson's Classic 686 on the Smith & Wesson website suggests its best uses are recreational, home protection, and professional duty. How would you use it? And that was written by Mark Kakuri. So ladies and gentlemen, the 686 Smith & Wesson 357 Magnum is now available at ANC Firearms. Call them at 254-983-4417. Tell them you want it. Go buy, check it out, purchase it, support this radio show by supporting the sponsors, and it's a circle of life. Everybody wins. We'll talk to you on the other side, and we'll be talking all sorts of gun stuff. See you on the side.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Bolt Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quality work stop at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bolts. Power through the summer with Cameron's Bolt Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Cappellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cappellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cappellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Central Texas Martial Arts of Rockdale offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Back, Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program, December 9th, 2017. We got about another 25 minutes to go. Give us a call here at 254-697-6633. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Like us on Facebook. Spread the word, everybody. Spread the word. Like us on Facebook and share it with everybody. And let's get those numbers up. Go to Aaron's Gunshop YouTube channel and check out all the videos. We got tons of videos. And here's the other thing. I had some people in my last license to carry class, and I'm telling them how the class used to be so much longer, and we would go over the laws in so much more depth. But because I have to get you out of there in a certain amount of time based on the state requirements, you really need to study it. So if you go to Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel, well, there's video after video after video of attorney extraordinaire me, Benton Ross Watson, super attorney Rick Dodd, myself, going over all different aspects of the penal code, legalities, concealment, this and that when it comes to the law. And it's a plethora. It's an encyclopedia of knowledge if you go there to that channel and check it all out. And plus, there's a lot of product demos, other things that would be of interest to you. So check it out at Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel and become a subscriber there too. Now, I've had some questions. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about indexing the weapon, and that's keeping basically the weapon between you and the threat where it's in the line of sight, so that when you get the gun back in operation, you don't have much to do when it comes to aiming at the target. And if you go look at the YouTube channel, you'll see me with, it's about a, I don't know, 2-minute video, 3-minute video, I can't remember, but it's a good video when it comes to explaining indexing. So this week, actually before today, I had some questions concerning pulling the slide back and racking the weapon to get it armed. And I'll see a lot of people on the range, and they're doing things that can potentially cause the gun to malfunction, or if they're in a high-stress environment and they've never been there, they don't realize the method that they used to get the gun into action may hinder them or cause a potential problem. So what I'm going to do is try to verbally explain it on the radio and have this made into a video so you can check it out probably on Tuesday. Now, what do we do, ladies and gentlemen, when I get a firearm? I've got this beautiful 1911 in my hands right now. What's the first thing we do when we get a firearm? I'm listening. That's right. We clear it, make sure it's not loaded. So the first thing we do is we drop the mag, and it's not popping out. So I'm going to try this different mag to simulate. There we go. It pops out. I'm going to check my magazine. The magazine is empty. I'm pulling the slide to the rear, checking the chamber, and checking the mag well. The weapon is clear, and now I can explain what we're talking about. I'm going to explain saddling the slide. If I'm shooting my weapon, and this weapon here has an 8-round capacity. Actually, it takes a standard 7-round, but you can get mags that take 8 rounds. So let's just say I got the standard mag in there, 7 rounds. On my last round that I shoot, if the gun is working properly and the follower engages the slide stop, it's going to lock the slide to the rear. And it has, if you'll see on the video, lock the slide to the rear. What we're going to do now, I'm going to try to incorporate, too, the mag change. That was another aspect that I was going to talk about today. But when the weapon is out of ammo, if you remember from last week, I've got the gun in my line of sight. The muzzle's somewhat pointed towards the threat. It's at my eye level. I'm going to press the magazine release button. Magazine comes out. I'm going to exchange it for another mag, put the mag in that's with full rounds. I'm going to turn the weapon back into a shooting position in my line of sight. Now, on the video, you're going to see, I'm going to turn the gun sideways now. A lot of people, what they do is they'll get their 5 fingers and kind of scrunch them together and go to grab the rear side of the slide and try to pull it. But when they do that under stress, if they don't get a good grip, they're going to slip off the gun, which makes it necessary for them to put the hand back on the gun, wasting precious time. Other people, if they do get to grab the slide and pull it to release the slide stop, they kind of walk the slide forward. Walking the slide forward is akin for a malfunction. It doesn't let the weapon do what it's supposed to do. So we're going to solve that problem. And this is a great thing to learn when you're doing the round robin. When you're holding the gun properly in your hand, I'm a left-handed shooter, so the gun now is in my line of sight. I'm indexing the weapon. I just changed the mag. I'm going to turn the gun back into my line of fire. It's in my line of sight. My offhand is going to get on top of the slide behind the ejection port. We don't want our hand in front of the ejection port because if we close the slide accidentally, it's going to pinch our finger. We don't want that. Ouch, blood blister. Doesn't feel good. The back part of the ejection port is the danger line. Stay behind the danger line and you're okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the base of our palm, this part right here, the bottom part of our palm, and we're going to utilize the tips of our fingers in this manner. I'm going to put the palm of my hand, the bottom palm of my hand, against the slide. Over the top of the slide, I'm going to wrap my fingers where my fingertips grab the other side of the slide. And at the same time, with my shooting hand, I'm going to push the bottom part of the gun while I bring the slide towards me with my off hand. As I do that, I'm compressing the spring about an eighth of an inch more, which will give it a catapult effect when it brings the round into the chamber. You're going to hear it. Hear how hard that sounded? As compared to maybe just dropping the slide stop, it's still loud, but it's not as loud and as forceful as saddling the slide, compressing it just a little bit more, and letting it go. That's saddling the slide. You have a much better grip on it, less chance of the fingers slipping off the slide. And one more time, if I walk it forward, if I'm saddling the slide but I still decide to walk it forward, the cartridge could potentially pop off the magazine improperly, not get hooked by the extractor because the extractor carries the cartridge into the chamber. I'm showing on the video right now the cartridge, the extractor looks like a hook. And the cartridge has the rim at the bottom and that extractor hooks the rim and keeps tension on it. But if I go real slow, the cartridge may get ahead of the extractor. The extractor pushes the cartridge into the chamber, and then you have another malfunction. So we want to make sure we're very violent with this gun. The gun gets an explosion in it every time you shoot it. So what you do with it manually is not going to hurt the gun. So once again, I load the weapon, I saddle the slide, pull, and let it go. Pull and let it go. Do not walk the slide forward, okay? That is saddling the slide. Now, if we put mag changes into this, somebody asked about mag changes too. There's different types of mag changes. If I'm in a shoot and I've got a full capacity gun, my gun's at full capacity, I got 8 rounds, and I have to take a few quick shots and I'm excited, adrenaline's pumping, I go 1, 2, 3, boom, but I lost count. I've got an 8 round mag, I shot 3 rounds, but I actually lost count. I don't remember. And let's say there's a lull in the shooting. What I can do if I feel safe and I'm behind cover or something and I got my extra mags on my belt, what I can do is say, okay, I got a little bit of time. I don't really remember how many shots I took. I'm going to take the mag out. This is a tactical reload. I'm taking the mag out, still has ammo in it, but I'm not sure how much, but I still have a round in the chamber. That is for just in case something happens, I got one shot to take. The other mag is coming out of my mag pouch. I'm indexing the weapon again. I'm inserting the mag, and I'm back in action with a full magazine. That is a great little thing to learn. You need to practice that. The other mag change is when the gun just goes empty. And this magazine's defective. Let me use the other one. So what happens is, on the last round, the slide locks to the rear. Oops, I'm out of ammo. Drop the mag, grab a new one. I'm indexing it, compressing, and I gotta take the mag out to make it work. Compress the slide, and it goes forward, and I'm back in the game. So those are your two different types of mag changes. Needs practice. You can become very proficient and very fast at it. So what we're going to do now, I've got another clip. Trey, we've got a clip on bayonets. I had a couple people ask me about bayonets too. So what we're going to do is play an old clip that I did about the proper placement of a bayonet on an AR-15. There's the flash hider at the end of the barrel, and then there's the bayonet lug. They have to be a certain distance from one another to have the proper attachment to the rifle. So, Trey, let's play that, and when we come back from that clip, we'll see how much time we got, and we'll go from there. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. We are back now doing our product demo section. As you can see in the video here, which you'll probably see hopefully Sunday or Monday sometime, we're going to be talking about Blackjack Firearms, a Model R1. This is one of his older ones. John Ferguson from Blackjack Firearms, I asked him to make me a gun a long time ago, and this is one of his early ones, so I feel kind of honored to have this one. I got special markings on here, too. But what we're going to be going over on this product demo, I want to show this rifle because I had it made so it could carry a bayonet. People are saying bayonets are dead. Well, I don't think so. I'd rather stick somebody than beat them with a stick, okay? So if my gun's out of ammunition, instead of me beating them, I'm going to poke them with the end of my blade. But there's problems out there because the military bayonet was made for a military rifle. So when a military rifle can be a little bit shorter than a civilian one. A civilian one has a 16-inch barrel. A military one, I believe, is a 14.5-inch barrel, and it's designed to carry the bayonet. And I've been reading a whole bunch of things and talking to people, and they say their bayonets don't fit or work. So we're going to talk about that. The first thing here, though, is let me describe this gun from John. He had it made for me. What's the first thing we do when we get a weapon, everybody? We check to make sure it's not loaded. So we're going to take the mag out of this gun and check. It's clear. I'm going to pull the bolt to the rear and check the chamber. And it's clear, and the weapon now is on safe. So the weapon is clear. And what I'm showing you, I'll give you a brief description of this gun. I had John make it for me with a 14.5-inch barrel instead of the standard 16 for us civilians, I guess. And then we had a flash hider put on it, a little different flash hider. I had a quad rail put on it with my bridge that goes across here because I like one long Picatinny rail all the way from front to back. I had John put on a saw grip. I personally like the saw grip. It fits my hand. The angle's right. And this particular one's made from Tapco. It's not a mag pull or anything, but it's just a Tapco saw grip. And we've got a little angled foregrip going on in the front here underneath the quad rail for a little bit more convenient grip so your wrist isn't torqued out. It kind of makes your wrist go in a more natural position. And then we have here a sling swivel adapter on the side so you can carry it across your chest with no problem. It's got a fixed front sight post, and we attached on here a military flip-up rear sight. So in case I do put an optic on here, I'll be able to co-witness like we've talked about so many other times before. And basically, other than that, it's a standard rifle with a bayonet lug. But now, let's talk about this. Because I wanted John to build this for me so I could put a bayonet on it, I brought with me a bayonet. And I want to show it to you all, if you're interested in getting a bayonet to put on your rifle, what you may have to do to make it fit. I had an argument with somebody one time, and they said, no, you can fit this bayonet on anything. Well, it's true, you can fit it on there, but it's not going to fit the way it's supposed to fit. And here's what's going on. When you look at this rifle here, and you see the bayonet lug underneath the front sight post, for those of you just listening, if you have an image of an M16 with the front sight post, got the triangular front sight, and right underneath is the bayonet lug. And then above that, right towards the muzzle of the gun, we have the flash hider. But now on the flash hider, they have a flat spot on either side. That's where the wrench goes to torque it on. If you keep that in mind with what I'm about to show you now, I've got a, well, this one's a particular, this is a Chinese copy of one. I just did it for a quick reference. But here's the bayonet that the military uses. And there's the barrel ring. This is the ring that goes over the barrel. Now, if you have a 16-inch barrel and you go to lock it on your bayonet lug, what's going to happen is the barrel ring is going to be behind the flash hider, literally resting on the barrel, and it's going to rattle. And the blade sticking out from the end of the barrel is only going to be like maybe 3 inches, whereas it should be sticking out a good 6-7 inches. So what happens is the barrel length makes a very, it's very important when it comes to relationship with the front sight. So let me clarify. On my particular gun with the 14.5-inch barrel, when I go to put a standard bayonet on it, from the flat side of the flash hider to the bayonet lug is approximately 5 inches. The handle on my bayonet is approximately 5 inches. So the barrel ring is going to go over the barrel of the gun, barrel of the flash hider, okay? And it's going to lock into the bayonet lug underneath the front sight,
and it locks into place. And if you can see that on the video, you're going to see the barrel ring is on the flats of the flash hider. The locking mechanism is on the bayonet lug. And the bayonet blade itself sticks out quite far. That's the way it's supposed to be. It doesn't rattle. It's on firm. Works great. If this was a 16-inch barrel, it would kind of look like this if I can make it work, which I can't. It's too... It works too good on this gun. What's going to happen is this barrel ring is going to come down here, and it's going to wobble because the barrel is a smaller diameter than the barrel ring on the bayonet. The barrel ring on the bayonet fits perfectly on the flash hider, so it's stable, it doesn't rattle, and it fits perfectly with the length of blade being maximized on your gun. Anything else is too short. So in reality, it doesn't matter if you've got an AR pistol, if you got a 20-inch barrel, if you got a 14-inch barrel, 16-inch barrel, the key thing is that the flat of the flash hider is approximately 5 inches from the bayonet lug. Doesn't matter everything else. As long as that distance between those two points is about 5 inches, you're going to have a stable bayonet on your gun. Okay, so I thought that was pretty neat. I wanted to bring it in and talk about it and show it. If you can hold that for me, sir, we'll be good. So if you have any questions, go to Blackjack Firearms, bjfirearms.biz. Check it out. It's like I said, it's a restaurant. They got all sorts of things on their menu. You can pick whatever you want. Have a great time upgrading or having John or Steven build a gun specifically for you. It's a great place to go. Check it out. So with that, that's our product demo from Blackjack Firearms. We're talking about the 14.5-inch barrel and the bayonet lug.